And it don't take money, don't take fame. Don't need no credit card to ride this train. It's strong and it's sudden. It can be cruel sometimes, but it might just change your life. That's the brutal love, dudes.
This is Petey Pidge.
I am Mike.
J-Mac.
Brutal Dudes.
So, I did a thing.
You did do a thing.
This past week, I accomplished a goal that I've been trying to accomplish for the year. I set a bunch of goals for myself that I was going to do, and this is one of them.
Murder.
No, no, you're close.
What?
I
he's like, wait.
I torture. No, I went to see Back to the Future, the musical, on Broadway.
On Broadway. Sorry, I had to do it.
I was just thinking it. I'm so glad Pete was thinking it too.
It was fucking phenomenal.
It
was so good. I'm not even kidding you. I know, Mike, that you're not a Steven Spielberg fan, and luckily it's not directed by Steven Spielberg, but
I am a theater person.
It is. They extended it till December. It's so worth going to see. Not only does it do justice to the movies, which are like my favorite movies of all time, but it also adapts it to the theater perfectly. The stuff they changed didn't bother me at all because they had to change certain things. The car effects looked like a real car. Like it looked like the car came to a skidding stop when you first see the car. It's fucking amazing. The car flew at the end into the audience and then did a full 360. I'm like, fuck you. I don't know how you did that. That's amazing. It was great. The guy that
damn you and your black magic.
Yeah.
Right.
Damn you, Doc. There's a musical sequence that opens the second act of Doc thinking about what it would be like in the future. And he does a bunch of like robot dances because it's like futuristic dancers. It's fucking wild. The songs are pretty damn good. I'm not a huge theater music person. Like I like going to see theater, but like, I'm not like a huge, like I'm not the type of person that would go buy the West Side Story soundtrack. I legitimately would buy the soundtrack of this because there were some pretty decent songs on it. The kid that played Marty was pretty good. The guy that played Doc was a fucking superstar. That guy is amazing.
Not to take anything away from Michael J. Fox, because I'm genuinely a fan, but I do think I enjoy Back to the Future. I'm not as big a fan as you are, but I do think it hinges more on Doc than Marty.
It does.
Yeah.
It does. And the play does too. And that's part of the reason why, like, this guy was. What made him good was not that he mimicked Christopher Lloyd, because there's things that he did that mimic Christopher Lloyd, but Christopher Lloyd's performance was very iconic as Doc. Like, you're never going to think of anyone else as Doc,
yeah,
right? Even though how good this guy was, you won't. But what made it a great performance is that he understands that he doesn't have to be Christopher Lloyd. He can be his own version of Doc and still bring a good Doc out. And that's what he did. Like, there's genuinely like laugh out loud funny parts that he does where you're like, that's fucking hysterical.
I totally understand what you're saying about the not having to copy it. So there's an argument that happens in my household a lot. It started because I just like to make my wife mad. And a movie that she loves is Silence of the Lambs. Hmm. For anyone who doesn't know, Silence of the Lambs is a sequel. Most people don't know that.
Red Dragon.
To the movie, well, Manhunter was the first. Yeah. So Manhunter was the first movie. Manhunter didn't do well. So Dino De Laurentiis let other people take over the production for the sequel, thinking that, you know, a new eye on it would do something. And it did. Silence of the Lambs got so big, most people didn't know it was a sequel.
Wasn't Brian Cox the
original? Brian Cox, yeah. So
For those of you who don't know, Brian Cox was the chief in Super Troopers.
Yes. He was the original Hannibal Lecter. Now, like, six different people have played the role, but at that time, you only had Brian Cox, and then for the next few movies, Anthony Hopkins. she loves Anthony Hopkins, particularly his performance on Silence of the Lambs. So I would piss her off constantly just by being like, I mean, Manhunter's better. Like, Brian Cox nailed that role. He's just, you know, a shallow impersonator coming in and doing, she would get furious. But I understand exactly what you mean, because I actually think that the best Hannibal Lecter was the guy who played him in the TV show, Mads Mikkelsen.
Mads Mikkelsen.
But Mads Mikkelsen had the opportunity to do his own thing, because he wasn't the person who immediately followed Brian Cox or Anthony Hopkins.
Right.
So he had the opportunity to kind of make it his own thing and see what other people had done that worked and didn't work and build off of that, or drop shit that didn't work. And when I say don't work, I mean Hannibal Rising. Whenever I say that. But I do think that's interesting that you say that about Doc, because I think that's such a pivotal role, even though Marty's the main character. But just like in Silence of the Lambs, like, Hannibal Lecter is not the main character in each of the movies. He's sort of the secondary character, but he's the most pivotal character. And you have people who, whether you like Brian Cox, whether you like Manhunter or not, and I genuinely do love it. I say that to piss her off, but I actually think it's an amazing movie. But I understand, for people who read the books, like, if Silence of the Lambs is what the books are, I get it. I get that Manhunter's not the same thing as that. It's like a music video if you're super high watching a music video, because Michael Mann made it. The guy who made Miami Vice.
The guy who also made numerous
music videos. And the creator and producer of Miami Vice made it. So that tells you everything there. So I get it. But that is interesting you say that, because I think it's a similar situation where, even though he's not the main character, it kind of hinges on him.
It does.
But you don't have a lot of people who've played Doc, like Hannibal Lecter in this case.
One person.
Yeah.
Two people. I also, the guy that played George McFly, down to the mannerisms and the laugh, was like they carbon copied Crispin Glover. He was that good. He sounded like him. He moved like him. He was awkward as shit. Like, it was, but he's supposed to be. But it's so good. Like, he played it so good. And like I said, the kid that played Marty was awesome. The guy that played Biff was great. And it wasn't Thomas F. Wilson, which I didn't know how you were going to be able to do that. And he did it. There's a couple of like moments where like, so here's the thing. There's a couple of moments where Doc isn't being funny. He's being like serious. And it's like, it almost delves into Doc's character more in the first movie than I think it was. And I don't want to take away from Christopher Lloyd's performance, because Christopher Lloyd in Back to the Future 1 is like, should have gotten an Oscar. Like, he was that good. And it's still that good and holds up to this day and always will. But like, there's aspects to the character that didn't get explored enough. Like, the fact that this is the first thing he ever makes that works. And that gets talked about in the play. He's like, there's a whole song about like, I actually invent something that works. And there's a whole song about it. And it's like, it's a tearjerker song. It's like supposed to be like a heart wrencher, but it is. And it's just like, God damn, that was good. But it just, everything about it was just like so good. It made my trip to New York good, because the other two things we did in New York sucked. We ate at Margaritaville in Manhattan, and it was way too expensive and not, it was okay, but it wasn't like, it's Margaritaville.
I saw one of those in Florida. I've never been to one. We didn't eat there. So I'm glad you said it wasn't good, because I was like, oh, maybe we missed something.
It was raining, and that's the reason we stopped. It only wasn't good because it's Manhattan, because everything in Manhattan is more, is twice as expensive as anything else anywhere in the world.
So I just want to interject real quick. It came across my YouTube somehow, but there was this YouTuber who ate at every rainforest cafe in the country. Like, he drove across country and this was like, and he filmed it. And then he brought his buddy along with him, who was also another YouTuber. And his buddy was like, this is fucking stupid. I can't stand this. And then his buddy like ended up like that. He framed it as like, oh, I ate at a Margaritaville by me and I really liked it. And I'm going to go and eat at every Margaritaville around the country. And he recorded his own separate thing and took the other guy along with him. So yeah, I watched, it was like literally almost like an hour long, but I watched the whole thing and I was just like, oh my God.
Nice.
But yeah, I think he mentioned in his video that the Manhattan Margaritaville was like really fucking expensive, but it's also in like a skyscraper. So like it, you have to go up like four or five floors or some shit.
Yep.
I was like, that's insane. You just put a Margaritaville in the middle of the skyscraper.
So what ended up happening was we went and it was rainy. So we were going to go to like a mom and pop burger joint from one of my books, but it was raining. And I'm like, I don't want to walk 20 minutes in the rain. And they didn't want to pay for an Uber or a cab. So I was like, well, our plan was to go to Midtown Comics, which is like the main comic place in New York. And it was right across the street from Margaritaville. And I'm like, you guys just want to go to Margaritaville? Because it's right across the street. And they're like, yeah. So we went there and then we went to Midtown Comics afterwards. And actually they had, first time ever in New York, they had what I was looking for in a store, which is great because usually like in New York, you just have to settle for everything. I used to make this joke to my cousin when he lived in Brooklyn. Like the essence of New York, like the definition of New York is like settling for stuff. Like if you want a Sprite, we don't have Sprite, but we have, what's that generic Sprite?
Slice.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, I would like a Dr. Pepper. Well, we don't have Dr. Pepper, but we have Mr. Pibb. It's like, no matter what you want.
I was thinking of Sierra Mist.
Unless it's New Yorkian. Like if you want a cheesesteak from whatever that famous cheesecake from that famous cheesecake place in New York, that's the only time you get anything that's authentic from New York. Everything else is like, well, we don't have that, but we have this. So you're just going to have this. Like I want a Coke Zero. Well, we don't have a Coke Zero, but we have a Diet Coke. So that's what you're going to get. You have to settle for everything. And that's one of the things I hate the most about New York. Do you have any Heinz ketchup? Well, no, but we have Hunt's. It's like, I don't want fucking Hunt's ketchup. I want Heinz ketchup, New York. NY. Anyway, so we went there. But the first thing we did.
I meant to send a picture of it to you. There's a limited edition Heinz ketchup video game controller.
Oh, my God. That's fucking awesome.
Yeah. For what system?
It's just a USB controller.
Oh, word.
Yeah, so for anything that'll take USB. Yeah. I think it's like $40.
I'm gonna play Smash Brothers with my Heinz ketchup controller.
Fuck yeah, dude.
I almost ordered it, but they also have a Kraft mac and cheese one.
Oh fuck.
And an Oscar Mayer hot dog one.
Oh.
Yeah, now I can't decide.
I would play Sneak King with the Heinz ketchup. Everything has Heinz ketchup. So we went to Madame Tussauds first. What a fucking ripoff. Wax museums are okay, cool. They're not like cool. The wax sculptures there are great and they're very like detailed, but like it was $45 to get in on a Tuesday. I was like, this is stupid. So now that I wasted that money and learned that lesson. So we did that. Then we went to Midtown. We went to Margaritaville. Then we went to Midtown Comics. Then we went to the theater and we just kind of sat in the lobby of a hotel that's across the street from the theater because we were like an hour early. As soon as the theater opened up, we went in. That's the beauty of Broadway is like people show up on time. Like we had like a half hour once the doors opened before the show started. And it was like everyone was in their seat. Everything was turned off and the show started promptly at like 7:30. I was like, damn, that's fucking efficient.
That is one thing I do love that we have such a arts culture in Philadelphia. I go to the theater here all the time and nothing ever starts on time though.
Nope.
Nothing starts on time.
This was like,
yeah.
And everyone was down.
And I've been to shows on Broadway and they do just like you said,
ready to go. Yeah. And just so you guys know, in case you want to come along when I make my next excursion to Broadway, they're reviving The Wiz, the Michael Jackson Wizard of Oz version, the urban Michael Jackson, we'll call it the urban Wizard of Oz is what it used to be called. But Wayne Brady is going to be The Wiz. And I'm like, I have to see this now because it's one of my favorite musicals of all time.
Wasn't he just in the news for something?
I don't know, but I would go see. I'd go see The Wiz even if he wasn't involved.
Right.
But the fact that he's The Wiz, that guy can sing his ass off.
Yeah, he can.
I'm like, you know what? This is going to be good. Like, this is going to be a really good version of it, even without Michael, because that was what, for me, was one of the things that made it, the original Wiz. I love 70s culture anyway, but I loved The Wiz.
So Wayne Brady was in the news recently coming out as pansexual.
Really? What does that mean?
I don't know. Everything?
I believe pansexual means attraction to like all things. It doesn't matter. Like gender doesn't matter.
Trees?
No, I just think it means like, hold on. I don't want to get the definition wrong.
Yeah, so I looked it up. It's a sexual attraction to people of any gender, or regardless of sex or gender identity. So basically anybody.
Oh.
Yeah, they could be non-binary, people. They could be gender fluid, they could just be people, whatever, yeah. Just people.
A lot.
What if it's a person that identifies as a tree?
It's a good question.
Is it probably still dendrophilia? That's what that's called, dendrophilia. Shout out Coco. Coco taught me that. He wrote that we had a graffiti party at a sorority, and he wrote that I'm a dendrophiliac on the back of my shirt, and no one knew what it meant. And we both thought it was hilarious, and I didn't even know what it meant. And then he told me what it meant, and I thought it was even more funny, because it's when you like to fuck trees. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize the Oscars was tonight. Holy shit.
Yeah, Jimmy Kimmel. Yes. Oh, Jimmy Kimmel went off on Robert Downey Jr. It was great.
Really?
Yeah. He said, is that an acceptance speech in your pocket, or you just have a rectangular shaped penis? That was the joke on the fucking Oscars. I was like, that's amazing. He made a joke about him doing coke. So funny. Robert Downey Jr. just played along with it. He's like, go ahead, keep going.
I'm gonna watch it later, but apparently Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito are berating Michael Keaton for beating up on them as Batman. That's funny.
So they were like, but but they're redoing The Wiz, so I think I want to go to Broadway to see The Wiz. I think that would be another one that's worthwhile. There's a Neil Diamond one that I think I would check out. There's also a Huey Lewis one. It's all Huey Lewis's music. I was like, man, I wonder if I could write a play to someone's music. And then it hit me. Limp Bizkit. Break Stuff.
Break Stuff, the musical.
Yeah. Breaking Hearts. Breaking Glass. Breaking Records, Breaking Bad. I don't know. I'm going to work on it, see how it goes. Anyway.
No, wait. Limp Bizkit, the OG red baseball cap.
Yeah, dude. Breaking tradition. New York, because you know why that is, right? Because he used to wear a Phillies cap, and the Phillies didn't like that he was, like, they were going to, like, sue him. So New York said it was fine for him to wear the cap. So he got it in Phillies colors. That's why he has the red and white New York cap, because the Phillies cap was red. And if you watch the first video for, I think it's either Faith or Stuck, he's got a Phillies hat on because he wore a red baseball cap. Didn't look like a shark fin.
They seldom do.
They seldom do.
Right.
Yeah. So we were, but it was really cool. But the play was just, I mean, it was just really well done. If you like the movie, you'll love the play. If you like plays, you'll love the play. If you like musicals, you'll love the musical. It was just so well done and executed. Like, I want them to make a sequel to the musical.
I was going to say, does it touch on anything from the sequels at all?
It leaves it open.
Okay.
And I don't want to ruin too much, because there's a lot of surprises that I was like, oh, that's cool. But, and it this is the other thing too. It's like, sometimes when you adapt stuff from one medium to another, there's like, it can drag at points, because you're waiting for something else to happen, especially like remakes of movies. Like, you're waiting for certain scenes to come
up. Yeah.
You don't do that at all. Like, from the beginning of the movie, of the musical, you're literally like, scene, scene, scene. The scenery moves. It gets to all the main points that you want it to. And it flows so well that, like, you're not sitting there waiting for, like, okay, when's this going to happen? When's this going to happen? You're just taking it in as it happens, even though you kind of know what scene's coming next. Like, even the scene where he's in his mom's room, like where the mom falls in love with him, like, they make a big thing about that in the play. Like, Doc makes an off-color joke about it as he's leaving, and I'm like, that's not something that was in the movie. Like, but he makes like a joke, like, you better go pick your mom up for the prom. And I'm like, yo, he just made a fucking incest joke. That's crazy. Yeah, it was really good. The other thing was I wanted to get a souvenir. So I was looking at the merch and I'm like, man, this merch is so expensive. And my friend Christian was like, dude, look it up on Amazon. It's probably way cheaper. So the original deluxe version CD of the cast, $70 at the place. On Amazon, it's like barely $20. The book about the making of the musical, which is the thing that I did want, it was $60, $20 on Amazon. I'm like, yeah. Damn, I can get all my souvenirs for under $50 on Amazon. Looks like I'm buying it all there.
Be at your house in 2 days.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I was like, okay, I'm going to do that. And I was like, this is way better. But yeah, they even have like the piano book that you can buy of the songs and stuff. Yeah. And I'm like, man, but I would just buy the CD because it's worth listening to again. Like I would listen to it again, but I'm also a diehard Back to the Future fan. The coolest thing that they had was a skate deck of the musical. And I was like, oh, man, I always wanted to design like a skate deck. That's one of my dreams, is to design a skate deck that somebody like sell the design to a company. So they would buy the design and produce the skate deck. I would love to do a Brutal Dude skate deck one day. I might.
Skate or die. In 5 rad events that pit you against a friend or bionic Lester. So check out Ultra Games. Remember, I'm never farther than your TV.